You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
Very early this morning, the news came that the president and the first lady had tested positive for the virus. I pray for them all the time, including last night, so this was just a continuation of more prayers for their safety and their health and well-being. They will have the best of care, and that's a good thing.
Those are the words of Nancy Pelosi, House Speaker, October 2nd, 2020. President Trump diagnosed with COVID, as is the First Lady. Now, we're told the president's case is a mild case. You heard in the network report just ahead of us that he is continuing to conduct business as he can while, quote, quarantine. And I want to tell you something. Here is where we are really going to test character, American character to begin with. I don't care which side of the political fence you're on. This is a test of character. Nancy Pelosi just said, I pray for the president and the first lady's fast recovery. I don't think she's making that up at all. I don't know if she prays for them all the time, but I'm not getting into that. I just think that that's the approach it should be taken. As we have taken on this side, reference the health concerns for Joe Biden, if he's truly suffering early stages of dementia or something of that nature. As we also prayed for Ruth Bader Ginsburg when she was facing final days. That's American character. We're going to look at American character, good and the bad. I'll give you an example of that before we wrap up this monologue. But I want you to keep something in mind. You should put American character, good or bad, against what we're seeing from China. And you tell me where you come down. The Chinese state-controlled media immediately rushing out to mock the president and first lady for testing positive, mocking them, saying he's paid the price for his gamble to play down COVID-19. The president did not want to panic the nation. He said that in that Woodward interview, which he allowed to be taped. He didn't want to panic the nation, but at the same time, he was taking steps. And yes, he was always hopeful. It could be over maybe by Easter and then by this time. And so well, that's hope. And yes, there are times he said, I don't think I need to wear a mask all the time. Not going to. And he's surrounded by people that are constantly tested. Your situation is different. It's up to you to make your own decision. But mandating that someone wears a mask in public all the time, that became part of an issue. All of that aside now, some are saying, well, maybe this is a day of reckoning for the president and his attitude about masks and COVID-19 in general. Okay, I'll accept that. We're going to get into that as well. But I think it's also a day of reckoning again, as I said, for American character. And I don't want to be on the side with China, as I just stated what their attitude was. So the White House physician, Sean Conley, announcing in a letter, he does expect the president to continue carrying out his duties as president despite testing positive. And it was released early this morning that the president and first lady had tested positive. Reaction coming in from around the world, which we'll share some of that with you a little bit later. Vice President Pence and the second lady, coronavirus-free, they continue to be tested. And we're going to be joined later in this hour by Fred Flights, president for Center for Security Policy. With the president having COVID-19, of course, these are early stages at this point. Is there any concern at all about national security and what other countries might try during this time? And, of course, the next presidential debate is October 15th in Miami. If he's going to be under quarantine for 2 weeks, if you start the count yesterday, this being October the 2nd, make yesterday October the 1st, or early this morning, 2 weeks is going to be right on top of that debate. date, will they have it or not? We do know that mainstream media has pushed for no more debates. They don't think it's worth it, or they think Biden lost. I don't know. And James Hurston will join us on California talking about slave reparations. But here's an example of bad character. Left-wing documentary director Joe Biden supporter Michael Moore says he thinks Donald Trump could be lying about having COVID-19 to prepare us to counteract his game and gain sympathy. Michael Moore says he's an evil genius. As I said, we'll talk about character, good and bad. Lock and load. Ready. On the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
We are slowly returning to normal as we knew life before COVID. Still, you need to be cautious. Make sure your business, school, place of worship are safe. Now that's where Wellington Environmental can help. You can schedule professional fogging or deep cleaning with just a phone call. I'll give you a number. But first you should know Wellington Environmental now offers fogging equipment you can use. These individual units are in high demand. Wellington has them available for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. Save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional fogging, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF, 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on, and you gotta move on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Is this a moment of reckoning for the president and this administration, for all of the pretending or looking the other way, and trying to convince people otherwise of the science for whatever reason, whether it was for to make sure that he was reelected? To make sure that he had high standing with the public, or just because of the economy. Is this now a moment of reckoning?
Those are the words of CNN's Don Lemon. Is this a moment of reckoning for the president and this administration? And as you heard, he explained what his real thought was on that. Is it a moment for the president to reconsider, basically, that maybe I have mishandled COVID-19. That maybe I didn't do everything I could have or we should have. I can't speak for the president, but I would think that even if I'd done exactly what he's done, I might be in the position that, you know, I wish we had done more. Maybe I should have taken a different tack on some things. So maybe that's going to be fair. But I think it's also a moment of reckoning, not just on how this has been handled and the president, because that's really where Don Lemon's going with that. It's a hidden attack. You understand that, don't you? That his words again, that all the pretending, looking the other way, trying to convince people otherwise of the science for whatever reason, whether it was for to make sure that he was reelected, to make sure he had high standing with the public, is in a moment of reckoning. Don't you imagine FDR had a moment of reckoning as well as he was making decisions at the Pearl Harbor? and always questioning himself and going back down the list of what we did, didn't do, what we should do, how fast can we do it, things of this nature. And, of course, when Harry Truman came in after FDR's death, I'm sure he had a severe moment of reckoning. It's okay to say and have attitudes and things outside the White House. And I'm not saying Truman was opposed to FDR or anything else he did. It's just that now it's on your shoulders, your shoulders. But I also think, as I said a moment ago, this is a time of reckoning with American character. The good, and there is a lot of good, and it exists on both sides. That's right, good people on both sides. I said it. Somebody got to use that against me. Or we also have to look at there's bad character. Normally, a person of character is really described as, what would you do? Would you do the right thing even if no one is watching? That's a test of character. No one's watching you. No one's going to applaud you. No one's going to say you did it right and praise you. It's just that you know that's what should be done. Right now, we have many lining up, again on both sides, offering praise, sympathy, prayers, as did Nancy Pelosi, if you heard the opening monologue. And we have those on the other side already began to mock him. And you are in company with China. I want to point that out to you again. If that's your attitude, because China's state-controlled media is immediately mocking President Trump. Now, they raised the same statement. They made it a statement, I should say, instead of a question that Don Lemon raised. Is this a moment of reckoning for this president and his administration for how they did things, that this is real, not a hoax? First of all, the president has taken it as real from the beginning. How bad it was going to get, who really knew? I mean, the numbers we were told were way off the chart. We know that now. But in the beginning, we didn't. And yet, shutting down flights and encouraging, yes, governors make some decisions. We don't want to mandate everything. You need to be doing it. Do what you know you need in your area. And yes, Trump was not big on wearing the mask on a regular basis. And we've got conflicting information from even the health experts, Dr. Fauci, for one of them in particular. Masks are no value. They don't mean anything. And then, oh, yeah, we do need them. And we don't know in the beginning if we were told they're not a big deal. Don't worry about getting them because there was a shortage. And they want to make sure they got to the first line health care workers, which is critical. But even the CDC has recently put out a report that masks aren't really that valuable. And in fact, now there's concern that it's not from touching or breathing, but the virus could enter through a membrane in your eye. So now you need glasses and a mask, or you need maybe one of those full face shields with a mask. You really need to get yourself to the point where you can't breathe. Then you won't inhale it. But that's not going to last very long for you. And, of course, it's easy to blame the White House for what's going on here. But I think you also need to keep in mind the news media, and particularly the attack dogs, the mainstream media. They're always looking for some way. Well, they really wanted something to go really wrong. And many on the left really wanted things to go wrong with the economy and hurt the economy and everything and more to come down. I'm going to tell you, there were those that really wanted to see more get sick and die, especially if they happen to be Republicans, because it would make this president hard to reelect if he had failed on such a massive issue. It is only in the last day or two that CNN has actually begun to raise questions about how Cuomo dealt with nursing homes in his state, where they had at least a minimum 7,000 deaths in nursing homes because of his order sending COVID patients into nursing homes and telling them if they have patients who are COVID positive, keep them. A minimum 7,000, could be 12,000. And he continues to say, I rest peacefully at night knowing I did the best thing I could. But that was a clear mistake. And I don't mind you pointing out any mistake or failing this president has at any point. I don't mind that. I can take that. But you also have to be fair and look at the other side. But when Don Lemon raises that question, is this a moment of reckoning? He's raising it as a question. China helps carry the ball farther by making it a clear statement. They're not making it a moment of reckoning. They're just saying President Trump and his first lady have paid the price for his gamble to play down COVID-19. Well, reference their health. Dr. Scott Atlas, who's a special advisor on coronavirus to President Trump that he brought in, he is not the president's personal physician, but is a special advisor on the coronavirus pandemic, member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force. He said the president's a super vigorous man, very, very healthy. Overwhelming majority of people at even his age do fine with this. He's healthy. I anticipate the same for him. Reference the first lady. He said she's not high risk at all. I don't think it's going to change anything. That should be seen as for our nation, that this is a good deal in the sense that the president will recover. It might get worse than what he has now, but he will recover based on that analysis. But again, that is not the president's immediate physician. We got simply a statement from the president's physician that he had it, and they will continue testing and watching around him. And that's going to be, if anyone's going to be tested on a regular basis, it's going to be the president, first lady, and everyone around them. And to that extent, I want to point out again, Vice President Pence is free of COVID, as is his wife, as is Nancy Pelosi, because we want to keep in mind the line of succession. But while we've got many that are wishing the president well, fast recovery, they don't want him to win the election, but they want him to, you know, they do not wish him ill health. I have a lot of friends that I think truly, and I count them as friends, that they don't like Trump, had never liked Trump, wouldn't vote for him this time, didn't vote for him previously, and they do not want to see him continue. They call him a buffoon and everything else, and that's fine. That's their opinion. They're entitled to their opinion. But I honestly, as I speak to you right now, I don't know of a single one of them who would say I wish him death and really ill and incapacitated and everything else. But there are those that don't mind voicing bad character. Jordan Davidson, we've had on here previously before, writing for the Federalist, has some of the remarks that are coming out and quoting some other people who are turn quoting them. Sean Davis being one of them, saying Joe Biden has thus far refused to denounce supporters' celebration of Trump's diagnosis. Refusing to denounce supporters who gleefully say they hope the president and first lady die. Joe Biden did have a statement issued that he and Dr. Jill Biden are praying for the health of the president and first lady. As you heard Nancy Pelosi make her statement. I'm not saying they have to add to that, that we denounce anyone calling for him to die or get really sick, but he has been on record that he does hope that they recover effectively. Then you got Max Berger, former Elizabeth Warren campaign staffer, joining the growing list of those who claim Trump did this to himself by inflicting this same misfortune upon millions of others. And again, they want to blame Trump for all 200,000 deaths. Really? You can't do that, but they're going to. Then another group stating, I hope this virus treats Trump as well as he's treated everyone his whole life. Another one, Trump has destroyed millions of lives. He deserves none of our sympathy. Yeah, as I said, this is going to be a test of character, isn't it? And also, don't forget, we've had confusion even on the left to that extent. Maybe confusion and also playing games in their way. The Pennsylvania State Representative, Wendy Ullman, the other day was caught on video appearing to call coronavirus mask political theater. She was doing an exchange with Governor Tom Wolf, and the governor said, told her, well, Wendy, I'm going to take my mask off before I speak. She said, I will as well. I'm just waiting so we can do a little political theater. In other words, she wanted everybody to see her with a mask and then take it off as she begins to speak to him. Political theater. So no wonder a lot of the public has not bought all these stories coming out of the press and the concerns. And if there's been an issue as to how well we have or have not reacted to it, you can blame the White House, but I think you also need to look back to the mainstream media and Democrat politicians and their attitude. Next question, what does this do to the upcoming debate? Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So again today, the White House physician, Sean Conley, announcing in a letter that he expected President Trump to do fine with his duties moving forward despite testing positive for coronavirus. The exact statement from the U.S. Navy commander physician, rest assured, I expect the president to continue carrying out his duties without disruption while recovering. I will keep you updated on any future developments. And, of course, there's speculation immediately from the media about secession of power and whether Trump should even remain on the ballot. That's right. New York Times already jumping in on that. Maybe he shouldn't even stay on the ballot. The New York Times writing today, if he becomes sick, it could raise questions about whether he should remain on the ballot at all. May I stand back and point out one thing to you? With all the obvious things we have seen about Joe Biden's health in general, I'm not talking about physician, mental capacity, questions about it. No one at all suggested on the left that maybe we need to reconsider him being on the ballot. And this is an illness that many people go through and are doing just fine. We have, according to the reports, I think the last number, 7+ million diagnosed, if it's a proper diagnosis. And then CNN jumping in that if he becomes sick, you know, we need to speculate about who's going to follow. Pence would be first to follow. Behind him would be House Speaker Pelosi. Now, what about the debate coming up? If the president's going to be under a 2-week quarantine, which is apparently the standard they try to set, this is October 2nd. The diagnosis coming early this morning, so he had it obviously since yesterday or at some time maybe early this morning. I don't know when he got it. But if you count 14 days plus, that would take you right to the 15th or 16th, depending on when you start. October the 15th is the next presidential debate in Miami. Will it go down as scheduled? Don't forget, you've had many of the mainstream media, basically, they just think there should be no more debates. MSNBC post-debate coverage. Joe Reed pushing that, maybe we just should not even do any of these. There's nothing to be gained. CNN Anderson Cooper, Should there be other debates? He said, I don't think they should. Now, the VP debate's coming up October 7th, Salt Lake City, Utah, between Pence and Kamala Harris. The second presidential debate, I'm sorry, the third, actually, will be October 22nd in Nashville. By then, the president should be fully recovered. Now, the question is, his first debate coming up October 15th in Miami, will it go down as scheduled on stage, or will there have to be some new accommodation? I don't want to see them do anything by virtual signal and Zoom or whatever you want to call it. I think they need to be on the stage together. So we'll see if that date's going to be acceptable at that point. There's another question, of course, many are saying is not just the secession of the president if he gets really, really sick overnight, quickly, rapidly, which some can. But what are other nations, threatening nations and countries and leaders thinking? And what about our national security during this time? Reports of doomsday planes ordered into the air early this morning. Fred Flights will join us, CEO, Center for Security Policy.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Glad to welcome back a guest we've had on numerous times before. I know all of you enjoy hearing from him. President and CEO of the Center for Security Policy, Fred Flights, extensive background and detail and work with the CIA and House Intel Committee and elsewhere. Fred, again, welcome aboard, sir.
Hey, Larry, good to be here.
Well, we had several things on topic, but let's jump right to the first one. That is, I see you also put out a piece today from the Center for Security Policy regarding the President's and First Lady testing positive and the implications. I'll let you sum it up for me.
Well, I like to sum it up with a tweet from my friend Molly Hemingway. It's time for prayers, but not time for hysteria. We have very good treatments available that significantly improve the odds for people who are inflicted with the coronavirus. Now, we know the president is in a high-risk group and has to be taken very seriously.
Now, let me stop you there.
Full recovery is very high.
Fred, let me stop you. When you say high risk, I want to clarify that. You're talking primarily because of his age and his weight, but no diabetes, no heart or kidney issues that we know of, right?
His age and his weight.
Right.
But his age is a big deal. We know that. But he's going to get the best medical treatment in the world, and we know so much more than we did in March, but it still has to be taken very seriously. But it's just worth noting that the government was prepared for this. I received an email from a senior official. I wrote an article this morning on the website, securefreedom.org, and I got an email from a senior Trump official who said, you have it right. We prepare for these types of eventualities. Nobody's running around wringing their hands. Another day at the White House. And that's the way I see it, too.
And that's what we've been hearing from the White House throughout the day, that the president's going about his duties. The White House physician said, rest assured, I expect the president can continue carrying out his duties. But that does not stop from many of the media outlets and many on the left saying, oh, no, no, we need to start concerning ourselves that should he even stay on the ballot, as the New York Times is questioning.
Well, the New York Times, we can't come off the ballot anyway, so I'm not surprised they're seizing on a tragedy or a serious situation for political advantage. I think the president will do quite well. He has incredible energy, Larry. I've seen him after playing 18 holes of golf, and you know he would go into the clubhouse. I don't play golf on that, but he does. But I've had lunch with him, and he'll just run into the clubhouse and start having lunch as if he hadn't done anything. And this is often on a hot day. I mean, we've seen him at these rallies. I think the energy he has is a big plus.
Now, the other question, of course, coming up is that some are already saying, well, the line of secession, I mean, Vice President Pence, been tested, he's okay. Nancy Pelosi appears to be okay, which, by the way, I want to, again, as I began today's program with a sound cut from her saying, I'm praying for the president, the first lady's health. I said at the beginning, this is going to be a test of character in this nation right now, good and bad character. But go ahead, I'll let you take it from there.
That's right. And I retweeted Rachel Maddow, I think, for the first time ever, because
right.
she wrote a very classy tweet wishing the first family well, I hope. And that's what we want in times like this. I regret there have been a number of, you know, really inappropriate things that people are saying at this point in time. But that's just the times that we're in. But I'm glad to see that there's been some classy, compassionate statements by some of the president's political adversaries.
And, you know, to that extent, I'm glad you brought up Rachel Maddow. I'm going to be talking about her in the next hour as well. But others have done the same. But we also do have those mocking and saying we hope they all die. And I said, anybody with that attitude, you should know that you're in line with the Chinese state-run media, which is already mocking Trump and basically saying he's paying the price for how he handled it. So you're in league with China at that point.
I'm very glad that the Bidens got a negative test result, and I hope that continues. And that's, you know, people on the other side of the aisle are not our enemies. They're people who disagree with us. And I think that it's time that we in Washington start remembering that.
Well, let's talk about our true enemies. And with that, there was a tweet that went out quickly today and said there are doomsday planes, we, quote, probably should change the name, established during Cold War in event of presidential death or illness to deter adversaries. And the Department of Homeland Security advisor had apparently, former Department of Homeland Security advisor, now a CNN analyst, reported that these, quote, doomsday planes had been deployed just prior to the president's announcement on Twitter. You've been on the inside of that. You know our national security issues. Your thoughts dealing with other countries and what might be an opening for them.
That sounds like this guy's watching too much science fiction. look, the president had mild symptoms of coronavirus. His chances of complete recovery quickly are 95%. The vice president doesn't have the disease. Assuming that even exists, and I've never heard of it, it's just absurd. And the fact that a former U.S. government official would say something so silly, it's embarrassing for him.
All right. Now let me get to an issue that we had on our plate before all this broke open, and that is, and you had a piece on this the other day about this report released from the Senate Judiciary Committee the other day, newly declassified information that shows that Clinton apparently, and these were notes by John Brennan written, that a plan to basically do what they could to hamper and create scandal problems with Donald Trump and his campaign. Go ahead, sir.
Well, it's interesting. The Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe, issued a letter this month that Russian intelligence determined in mid-2016 that Hillary Clinton had approved a plot to smear Donald Trump for colluding with Russia. And it was taken seriously enough that it was briefed to President Trump and there was an FBI referral. But when FBI former Director Comey, was interviewed on this week, he couldn't remember.
Said it didn't ring a bell. And, how do you forget that?
And isn't it amazing how he has these convenient lapses of memory when it comes to anything that could incriminate him or anything that could help Donald Trump?
And to that extent, again, this apparently it links back to a handwritten memo from CIA Director John Brennan at the time, handwritten notes showing that he briefed President Obama on the information. So certainly Comey would have known about it. But that raises the other question you did in your article, and that is, what did senior Obama officials know? How involved were President Obama, Vice President Biden, National Security Advisor Susan Rice?
I mean, how could anyone forget this? I mean, this is huge. It's ridiculous that Comey doesn't remember this. And I think we need to know, what did Obama and Rice and Biden and Comey, what did they know about this? Obviously, they knew about it. What did they do about it? I think they gave an order not to investigate it. But the idea that Comey and others didn't know about this is ridiculous.
This should be, in my opinion, if we have the next debate is scheduled in Miami, if the president will be free of his quarantine at that time, it's coming up the 16th of this month, that this should be one of those questions directed to Biden, for sure.
I think that's absolutely right. And you know, I made another point that the sources with the Senate Intelligence Committee said that they've known about this, but they just dismissed it because they didn't think it was credible. The Senate Intelligence Committee published thousands of pages in 5 reports on Russian meddling in the election, and they decided to leave this out. Maybe it's disinformation, and Ratcliffe conceded that. But I think this was important enough that that should have been mentioned in one of these reports, but that committee decided to hide this from the American people.
I think that's an excellent point, and I was turning the page to get to that point. And again, by hiding that kind of information, that made them complicit in any effort to do anything they could to destroy the Trump campaign. Because, as you said, the memo, apparently, CIA discovered in mid-2016. We had not even gotten through the conventions at that point.
And the argument is, oh, it's Russian disinformation. We can't give it credence. But the American people judge whether it's disinformation or not. This is a pretty significant piece of disinformation. And if this happened, it should have been reported in one of the Senate Intelligence Committee's unclassified reports.
The other point being, they knew that one of their sources was already listed as a threat to national security, correct?
Yes, it's interesting that this report by Ratcliffe, Concern and Event, that is this Russian assessment about Clinton, at the same time the Steele dossier is being put together in July of 2016, and we now know that one of the Steele dossier's sources was someone the FBI thought was a Russian spy.
And yet they use all of that to get FISA and continue doing it. And if Trump had not been elected, Fred, here's a key question. If he had not been elected, we never would have seen any of this, not maybe in our lifetime.
That's right. And I there's so much more that has to come out. I'm hearing that Durham is not going to put his report out before the election. The American people really need to hear from Durham.
Well, I mean, if he does, it's going to be labeled political anyway. And if he's withholding it, then it's stuff that needs to come out. I mean, you flipping a coin or you flat say just if he can get it done, do it and release it ahead of the election?
It sounds like Durham is not going to release his report ahead of the election. And I think the American people need that information to cast their vote.
All right.
I know some are already voting, but yeah. I don't know what the point would be of putting that report out after the election.
All right. Again, Fred, as always, we appreciate having you on board, sir.
Good to be here. Thanks, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. Fred Flights, President CEO of the Center for Security Policy. We, of course, other things are also going on. That is confirmation hearings. Are they going to start on time for Judge Barrett? And a big issue has suddenly surfaced.
The story of the hot rod race with the Fords and the Lincolns was setting the pace. That story is true, I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's...
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
All right, so we are told that the Senate will move forward with Judge Amy Coney Barrett's hearing on October 12th. That would be Columbus Day, normally a day folks would supposedly be off, or Indigenous Peoples Day, depending on what you want to go by nowadays. And that they would have it out of committee and ready to the floor by October 22nd, and therefore a vote could be made to confirm her before November, before the election. And it is moving forward, according to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Said he'd just spoken with the president earlier today, and he's in good spirits. We talked business. And we're moving full steam ahead. Full steam ahead. But there's something that has surfaced about Judge Coney Barrett that might be an issue. One of the questions, of course, that's going to be raised and the left is concerned about her view as a Catholic, mother of seven children, two adopted, on abortion and abortion rights. And she has never issued, apparently, a ruling dealing with abortion. But there is now surfacing what appears to be, what reportedly was, an open letter published in the South Bend Tribune in the form of full-page advertisements sponsored by the St. Joseph County Right to Life, an anti-abortion group, and that Barrett, who is then a law professor at Notre Dame, and her husband, joined hundreds from the border region of northern Indiana and southwest Michigan, signing their names to a statement calling for an end to abortion and to protect the rights of the unborn. And reportedly, this is exactly what they signed. The following citizens oppose abortion on demand and defend the right to life from fertilization to natural death. Please continue to pray to end abortion. Now, a group labeled as LifeNews.com said, here is a pro-life signature ad that Amy Coney Barrett signed in 2006 that says, it's time to put an end to the barbaric legacy of Roe v. Wade and restore laws that protect the lives of unborn children. That's what they say was in the ad. We're also being told now that the ad was not included in reams of documents Barrett turned over to the Senate for her confirmation. This is going to be a target. She had apparently been asked by a reporter yesterday. I'm sorry, I think this might have been Tuesday, actually, while she was on Capitol Hill meeting with senators. One reporter did ask her about the barbaric statement, I guess reference to what I just read to you, that appears on that document that she apparently signed. Now, again, I want to stress to you, I don't know for sure if it's legit. It appears to be. It appears she and her husband signed it. I don't know in what part of the piece I saw. I didn't see that the actual copy read barbaric, but I'm not saying it's not there. Either way, she was asked by a reporter about the barbaric statement, and Judge Amy Coney Barrett refused to answer, or maybe declined to answer. There's a difference between refusing and just saying, no, I'm not going to answer that, or sorry, I'm busy, I got to move on, so that's declining. But Senator Dianne Feinstein of California already jumping in on this. She said, Judge Barrett has been an outspoken critic of a woman's right to choose, reportedly calling Roe v. Wade barbaric. She has said as a judge she would ignore precedent if it conflicted with her interpretation of the Constitution. And the executive director of the Demand Justice Progressive group that opposes Barrett's nomination states, this is as clear a position as you'll ever see from a judicial nominee. White House Press Secretary McCaney said, the president has been clear he would never ask a judge to prejudge a case. Judge Barrett has on multiple occasions said it is never appropriate for a judge to impose that judge's personal convictions, whether they derive from faith or anywhere else in law. That's the official line, and they're sticking with it. How big of a deal is that going to be once they actually begin the hearings? Well, the bottom line is, do you have the votes to push it forward? And at this time, it appears it is. There are none. And here's another case that could end up in front of the Supreme Court. A Minnesota appeals court ruling that a school district cannot bar students who claim to identify as the opposite sex from using bathrooms and locker rooms consistent with their gender identity. In other words, the rule is from the school that you cannot use a bathroom if you are a boy, you cannot go in the girls' bathroom. The Minnesota appeals court ruled you can't stop a student who is a boy but claims to be female by identity, gender identity. You cannot block them from going in there. You see why the Supreme Court and who's elected to appoint nominees Supreme Court is paramount? In the next hour, more on the good and bad character surrounding the diagnosis that the president has COVID-19 or the China flu.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.